Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Jesus and the epileptic, prophecy and the temple tax, who is the greatest, dealing with offenses, and the parable of the shepherd. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address is always there for anybody who wants to join the conversation. We know that both our live listeners, but especially our many, many on-demand listeners, don't always listen in real time. So when you're listening on demand and you want to ask a question, you want to join the conversation, just do so by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also use the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
You were speaking earlier with, in our last interview, with Dr. Sherb about the death of our good friend and regular guest, Pastor Paul McCain. I'd like to hear your thoughts. You had some really nice things on social media during the Thanksgiving break.
Well, you know, you've always called him whenever you pick up the phone to make a connection, or in these latter days to make a connection via whatever technology we're using. Now, I can't remember what he used to use there at CPH. He always referred to him as the great man. And on Wednesday night, when you and I both heard about his very sudden death, and he died at home. It was apparently a heart attack. I don't know for sure. I just was stunned. It was more stunning than hearing about the death of my mother. It was more stunning than hearing about when Aaron Wolf passed away at such a young age, another regular guest. But I don't know why it was such a stunning thing. You called me, what it was like 10:30 at night after I'd sent you a message, and neither of us had anything to say. This is not typical for Jeff and I, because when a guest dies, we often go into a kind of memorial mode where we're thinking about the show. What are we going to do for the show? Neither of us were in that mode at all. So Paul was a dear friend for many years, and you always referred to him as the great man. That was something that Dr. Sherb mentioned before. I don't know where he got that particular appellation, but I think it was fitting. And there are very few people I can think of right now who have over their lives contributed as much to the church, and in particular to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as Paul McCain. And that's a pretty high bar to pass. But if you stop and think about what he was able to accomplish in his 58 years, aside from the fact that he was married for many years and raised a wonderful family and all the other things in his personal life, what he contributed to the church is just monumental. And so I think I was thinking about those words, the great man, and why we would think of anyone as a great man. Well, he had the career credentials to deserve that kind of a honorific. But also, and it came down for me just to the things that make any Christian great, just like Ken said about a half hour ago, Paul McCain loved God's word. And when you love God's word, it means sometimes you're going to run up against opposition to God's word. And I wrote a piece for social media over the weekend after I'd had some time to think about it, where my personal reflection on Paul was he was one of the very few people who was willing to send me an email or call me and tell me I was wrong. When you sit in this chair for as many years as I have, listeners tell us we're wrong all the time. We're going to hear some of that. But people tend to just kind of, sometimes they treat you with kid gloves, or they'll give you the benefit of the doubt when they shouldn't. Paul was not that kind of a person. If he heard me say something, or if he read something I'd written that he believed was contrary to Scripture and the Confessions, he let me know. Now, he wasn't always super polite about it in private, but that was his personality. And I say he loved God's word. He loved God's word enough to correct Todd Wilkin. And more than that, he trusted God's word. He trusted that God's word would actually do the correction. And it would overcome my bruised ego when I got corrected by someone. And that he trusted God's word that it could reconcile us. We had been friends before. We would have these tiffs over things that Wilkin was saying and writing that now I look back and I realize I shouldn't have been saying them. I shouldn't have been writing them. He was right to correct me. But Paul trusted that God's word could reconcile us after our little tiffs. And he was absolutely right to do so. That's just me. That's how I remember Paul McCain, because he bruised a lot of egos in the course of 58 years. You don't serve as the assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I think you used to call him Dr. Barry's bag man or something like that, without making enemies in the church, or without bruising egos or without conflict. He was designed for that kind of interaction. He was a very mature man who wasn't afraid of conflict, because conflict comes when you love God's word. And he was willing to do the hard work that it takes to apply God's word in that way, and to me and to many others. So that's what I think makes him such a great guy, is that he loved and trusted God's word. And that really was the guiding principle of his life as a churchman. If you look back at all the things that he did, he was a communications director at Iowa East District. He was a parish pastor. He was an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I think at the time, what was he like? In his 30s, maybe even very young 30s.
He was head of Concordia Historical Institute after that.
Head of Concordia Historical Institute. And then, as Ken said, really kind of came into his own, if that wasn't enough, as the at first interim CEO of Concordia Publishing House, where he turned the place around theologically and financially. And then in the last years as the editor there at Concordia Publishing House, left a legacy in publishing that will be remembered and really changed the course of kind of the public voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That's a lot to say. I could say more, but I used to, as a young parish pastor, used to shy away from eulogy. I still don't do eulogies. I preach sermons at funerals. I leave the eulogies for the visitation or for the family before the service. But when God has done and accomplished so much through a person, I think we need to acknowledge that. We need to say good things about the person too, because God accomplished those things through him. He didn't just kind of send these things down out of heaven. He had a person through which he accomplished these things, and a person who deeply loved and trusted God's word. So I don't have any problem with a eulogy like that.
As a layperson, I can say nobody, and I mean nobody. He's been on the show for more than two decades. He's been on the show when Matzit was sitting in your chair.
And there was a little friction there too.
And nobody could teach the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions to the laity, like Pastor Paul McCain. Nobody. He used to laugh at me. I'd refer to him as the Robert Preuss, who was the former professor and then president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I used to call him the Robert Preuss of our generation. He'd go, "Oh, stop it, Jeff. Oh, stop it, Jeff." But I really meant it.
Oh, it's absolutely true. He is not saying anything disparaging about the actual progeny and children of Robert Preuss. That's pretty considerable. But I think in terms of accomplishments, he is the theological heir to Robert Preuss. And that's saying a lot.
There was a time when we could not get him on for months. And
it was hard to get him on even when he agreed to come on.
Right. And I told Todd, I said, I don't know if we're going to be able to get him on anymore. He was busy at CPH. Things were coming up. And I contacted him and I said, "Paul, you have been given a gift. You have been given a gift to teach God's word, the Lutheran Confessions, to lay people. Share it. Confess it to the world." He's like, "Ah, you're right." My mom says the same thing. and thanks be to God, he came back on, and we were able to finish the entire Book of Concord, over 200 and some teachings, which we hope to post here in the weeks ahead, with the great Reverend Pastor Paul McCain.
I think he holds the record for the longest single series we've ever done. And I think I went back and it's in excess of 225 hours that we did just on the Lutheran Confessions with him. And then he also holds the record for the most times scheduled and at the last minute canceled.
Yes.
I would always tell my wife, well, the days have changed around, but there was a time slot that he had for recording interviews. And I'd always tell my wife, well, I think I've got a 11 o'clock tomorrow, but I probably don't, but I'm not going to find out until I'm 3/4 of the way to work when I'll get a text from Jeff that says McCain bailed. That's all he would say. McCain bailed. And but he has the record for bailing out the most times, which makes the fact that we got 200 plus more hours than that, counting all his interviews, out of him pretty remarkable.
Well, another thing that most people don't know is that, first of all, we don't pay our guests. We never paid Paul a penny. But Paul and his wife, Lynn, have been members of our monthly or annual giving program for years. For years. They financially supported the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. So he's going to be greatly missed.
Yeah, and he actually, he was the guy who gave us the idea for what we used to call the Issues, etc. 300. He gave us one of the best fundraising ideas we have ever had. Yeah, we didn't have it.
Sponsorship program, yeah, right.
He had it, and we stole it. We stole the idea from him.
And we've already had a lot of listeners. We have a Facebook post up now at facebook.com/issuesetc with a tribute to Pastor McCain, and people can add their thoughts there as well, facebook.com/issuesetc. And, of course, we've got some of our interviews, not the Lutheran Confession series, I believe 30 interviews with Pastor McCain at issuesetc.org/Paul-McCain. And we're going to be broadcasting the funeral service live tomorrow at 1 Central. That's Tuesday, December 1st at issuesetc.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
And President Harrison is going to be preaching that, I believe. Is that correct?
I don't know. Ken Sherbass, I don't know.
Might actually be his own pastor, Glenn Thomas. I'm not sure who it's going to be. But yeah, we're happy to broadcast that for our listeners, because I know as dear as he was to us, and as fond in our memories as he was to us as a host and a producer of Issues, etc., he was as equally dear to our listeners. When we come back, we'll go through some email and the Issues, etc. comment line.
And close with love the way that you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter. Make believe it came from you.
Please include the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. in your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2020, we're $160,000 short of projected expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
What does it mean to live the Christian life? Reaching out in mercy to our neighbors, receiving our Lord's gifts in worship, and proclaiming His truth to the world. The Lutheran Church Extension Fund comes alongside churches and individuals to help them live out this beautiful Christian life every day. This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Kim writes, I'm hoping Issues Etc. doesn't have Mark and Molly Hemingway on anymore. I used to enjoy listening to them, then for some time had been noticing a certain yet nuanced evasiveness about their replies in interviews, whether appearing alone or in tandem, but unmistakable. Their last interview about the impending election clinched it for me. I believe this trend amounts to a loyalty not to the values and ethics they presumably believe in and advertise on Issues Etc., but to other priorities, their careers at Real Clear Investigations and The Federalist. I thought their presence alone so ubiquitously on Issues Etc. spoke to their holding firmly to its values, or so I used to think. But I think they're using your platform to further their careers. The Hemingways are playing on both sides. I'm ready to put quotation marks around the word journalists as it applies to the Hemingways. Issues Etc. is abetting, in my opinion, two talking heads who are purposely and purposefully furthering themselves financially by not taking decisive stands. They're very good talkers indeed, very articulate, but they're becoming to me, yes, I'll say it, cowards. The lack of decisiveness is becoming more and more apparent. So many of your guests talk decisively and with real conviction on all sorts of relevant social and political topics. I can feel their passion. The Hemingways show no passion. They use Issues Etc. to further their own careers. Thanks for the feedback, Kim.
Well, let me take the last point first, and then I'll go back to the criticism of what the listener calls their lack of decisiveness. I think it's safe to say we have done little to nothing to further the careers of either Molly Hemingway, when she was Molly Ziegler, or Mark Hemingway, or their careers since. Yes, they have both been guests for quite some time on Issues Etc., and we have watched their careers grow, but their careers have grown because of their talent. And completely apart from any appearances they make on Issues Etc., I don't think anyone involved in their circle, their career circles, have any awareness that Issues Etc. even exists. So I don't think we're furthering or have furthered their careers. They've done that very well on their own due to their own hard work and their own talent. So they're not using us. I mean, if anything, the opposite is true. We have them on because their position in the media brings listeners. That's a good thing, and affords a certain kind of credibility, maybe not with this listener, but with some other listeners, but generally with our listeners. And it's nice to have them on, and they've been very, very generous with their time. If you only knew how busy both of them were between career and family, their generosity is unbelievable. Now to their lack of decisiveness, to me, this just mystifies me because I think while both of them are willing to suspend judgment on questions that they don't know for sure, which is, by the way, a really, really good characteristic if you're a journalist, is to suspend your judgment until you get all the facts. That might be what you're hearing here.
Actually, it's a good characteristic for anybody.
it's a good
anybody who calls themselves a Christian.
Yeah, you suspend judgment until you know all the facts. And so you might say, I don't know, or we're not sure, and things like that, which is a good answer to give. If you're a journalist, really, if you're anybody, but especially if you're a journalist, and that might be what you're perceiving as a lack of decisiveness, because these are uncertain times. There are a lot of things we don't know for sure yet. But I said it mystifies me because I could think of two more decisive people than Molly and Mark Hemingway. They recently spoke at our virtual conference at Concordia University Chicago, and we had an opportunity afterward to just kind of stand around and gab with the very few people, just the speakers, that were there. And if you've ever had a one-to-one conversation with Mark Hemingway, this guy knows a lot of things. He's brilliantly intelligent. And I would say probably, while still exercising his journalistic instincts to let the facts speak, he's very decisive. He will tell you what he thinks. And the same goes for Molly and Spade. So I don't think there's a real lack of decisiveness there. I think what's happening here, Jeff, is that a lot of stuff is getting filtered. Well, you got another email that probably could get us to that point. What is it?
Teresa writes, I couldn't believe my ears when I heard Todd Wilkin refer to Biden as the new president we will have and as president-elect, when he is certainly not. To go along with the media's declaration of this and disregard the way the winner actually is determined is most annoying and frankly irresponsible of him. Thanks for the feedback, Teresa.
I'm pretty sure you could go back and check, but I think in 2016, between early November and late December, when President Trump was elected and then later that election was certified by the Electoral College, that's the process you're talking about. During that month or so, I'm pretty sure that I was referring to Donald Trump as president-elect. Before the electors were sat, before the electors actually cast their votes, before it was official, I was referring to Donald Trump as president-elect, which most people were too. And no one complained that I was getting ahead of the process. No one complained that I was jumping the gun. I don't think it's jumping the gun or getting ahead of the process to refer to Joe Biden as president-elect, because I'm looking at all the media on both sides of this, and no, the media does not elect our president, but they do report on the numbers, and the numbers look like, by a very narrow margin in the Electoral College, he is the president-elect. So I will afford him the benefit of the doubt. Now you're going to say, but maybe the election was stolen, and maybe we need to investigate that, and it is being investigated. And that's true. But until we know that, I'm going to give the person who appears to have won the election the benefit of the doubt and refer to them as they ought to be referred to, as out of respect for the office of the president. Christians are lovers of the truth. Now, ask yourself this question. After all is said and done, and President Trump and his campaign have exhausted all of their legal means of checking into, testing, and challenging the election results. Double checking, that's always good to double check. You learned that when you were a kid in school. You got math problems, double check your answers. That's what they're doing. When that has all been exhausted, and it still appears that Joe Biden won the presidency, will you accept it? When everything has been done, and maybe even after President Trump concedes, will you accept it? Christians are lovers of the truth, even when that truth is something we don't like. Do I like the idea that Joe Biden will be president for the next 4 years? No, I don't. But if it's the truth, it's the truth, and you got to love all the truth and not just the stuff that you like. I think especially when we don't like the truth, reality as it is, Christians are lovers of the truth. First and foremost, the truth of God's word, and then the truth of what is. Martin Luther is often quoted saying that a theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is. He accepts the truth, and he loves it despite the fact that that truth may be painful and may not be something he wants to hear or wants to live with. But we need to accept the truth, and as Christians, we need to love it as well.
Here's a question from Adam. He says, your new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, where can I purchase this book? Adam writes.
Jeff, that's kind of a Jeff question there. We have a new book that we've just published, our very first one, called Objections Overruled. It's got some of the best Issues Etc. guests and apologists who've written chapters that have answered these questions that are kind of apologetic questions that people in, maybe you're graduating high school, you go off to college, and you start these questions like, you know, all religions believe the same thing. How do you respond to that? And that's what the book is about. It's written at a very simple level, even though the apologists are world-class who have written for us. How do they go about getting that book? A year-end donation of $250 or more, we'll send you not only that book, Objections Overruled, but also, as a bonus, a CD of 15 Epiphany hymns that are, as we speak, being recorded by the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. That's for a $250 donation or more at the end of the year. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you can donate there or donate by check and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also give Lynn a call. Well, maybe you can't give Lynn a call. Just call the office and someone will answer. 618-223-8385. And for a gift of $250 or more, we'll send you Objections Overruled. When my dad read this book, he immediately called me upon closing the last page and said to me, "This book is fantastic." By the way, I didn't write a chapter in it because I'm not an apologist. And he still loved it that much. So you will as well. Issuesetc.org.
And you did mention the Epiphany hymns too, well, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And
okay,
I said they're being recorded almost as we speak.
Yeah, tonight and tomorrow night. And Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, keep her in your prayer. She's having some eye issues, so she hasn't been in the office. Good news is she's going to have the phone, office phone, forwarded to her cell phone.
Oh, good.
Because sorry if you've been calling the office today, the three amigos here ain't picking up.
So she will answer the phone if you call 618-223-8385, and she will be answering there. Give her time to get to the phone, though. She sent us an email saying that her first medical procedure on her eye was completed. And she said, what did she say? Watching someone stick a needle in your eye is not as bad as actually having someone stick a needle in your eye. I know she was looking forward to that procedure, but
she gave us an update today. We're currently $160,000 short of projected expenses with about 4 weeks left in 2020. So any size gift is deeply appreciated. But again, for $250 or more, we'll send you Objections Overruled and our recording of 15 Epiphany hymns.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk about the word righteousness in the Bible. We've taken a little break from righteousness in the Bible with Pastor Will Whedon, but we'll get right back into it in the epistles with him tomorrow on Issues Etc., our series, The Words of Scripture. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in his ways.